I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part.
It is time to become a part. It is time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, if you're a longtime listener, you'll know that I'm on every other Saturday, and last Saturday was Halloween, so I'm kind of going to do my Halloween special tonight. I think I've got some amazing information to share this evening concerning Atlantis and the true reason why we still celebrate Halloween, and we'll be tying that into crystals and some reality creation, and I think that it'll make for a quite fascinating show, jam-packed with information as usual. But before we get into that, we'll start the program off in our usual way with a brief Hari Om mantra from Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys would play that now, that'd be super.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om.
Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari,
Hari, Om, Hari, Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari,
Om, Hari, Om, Hari, Om, Hari, 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 Om,
Hari, Om, Hari, Om, Hari,
Om, Hari, Hari, Hari,
Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Om,
Hari, Hari, Hari Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Hari Hari Hari Om
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 Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari.
That was a clip from back in the 70s from Sri Swami Satchidananda, a Hari Om mantra meditation. in yoga called Japa Yoga. I'd like now to give my normal medical disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET yoga, I'll just mention that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible, and that in a positive vein to enable you to be self-empowered in as many areas as possible. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, kind of my idea for tonight's program was relating it all to a Halloween scenario and how does Halloween fit in with ET yoga and consciousness and everything? Well, because it turns out that Halloween's name is actually comes from All Hallows' Eve, which was the eve before the destruction or the fall of Atlantis. And it would appear as well that we're replaying some of the scenarios from Atlantis in our present day. And information that I've kind of come across indicates that about 70% of the people that are living in the Northern Hemisphere currently had previous lifetimes in Atlantis, which makes this even more relevant. And I came across an interesting channeling from Archangel Metatron. And according to Metatron, Atlantis existed for over 200,000 years, and the vast majority of Atlantean times were epochs of light. Only the final phase, the period from about 17,500 BC to 10,500 BC, was, in your terms, a dark era, but one rich in lessons. And according to Metatron, we tell you, in fact, that the golden period of Atlantis was the highest level of light consciousness ever achieved on the Earth in any advanced civilization, higher than Lemuria, higher than Mu, higher than Rama, higher than Ignatius. And that 70% of all on planet Earth at this time experienced physicality there. Atlantis split into five islands. Poseida, Arion, and Og were the largest. And Attalia and Ire. And there were two opposing ideologies, the Atla Ra, scientist priesthood, of the Law of One, based predominantly in Poseida, and the Arian race of the Sons of Belial, based on the Isle of Arion. And an incredibly potent healing spring flowed on Poseida near the Temple of Healing, and its lore spawned the myths of the Fountain of Youth, passed down by the indigenous peoples of Florida. And according to Metatron, it flows yet into the oceans near Bimini. And the Arian Sons of Belial became engrossed in military, corporate power lust, and materialism. And they sought to block the Law of One and utilize Atlantis' technology for control of the world through the use of crystalline energy for weaponry and use of genetic science for development and retention of an inferior race to serve as workers and soldiers. And I might also add that in his information, he also indicates that dolphin beings at that time walked on two legs. I thought that was kind of a little interesting anecdote. And under the control of the Sons of Belial, the genetic programs created hundreds and thousands of hybrid mutations, to work the fields, and monstrosities were created with controlled minds to robotically do the bidding of their masters. And according to Metatron, we tell you that the beings you refer to as Sasquatch are remnants of human gorilla genetic engineered mutants created for heavy labor by the Aryans. They eventually formed what can be called a government with pretty much equal power representing the two opposing factions. However, from within the Aryan had risen an hypnotic, charismatic leadership who seduced the masses into believing that they were the answer and that they would be returning Atlantis to its lost golden age. And the leaders of this group, according to Metatron, were the souls that you know as Hitler and Himmler, indeed the supremacist Nazis of your World War II. And this group gained political power through deception and gained control of the second moon of Atlantis, originally created by the Arcturians for the benefit of the people and for beneficent purposes, but was now used as a war machine to create volcanoes and earthquakes in other parts of the world. And the crystal second moon began to overload, weakening the anti-gravity field that kept it afloat. And when this second moon crashed, it caused worldwide destruction and the sinking of Atlantis. Seven of the enormous primary crystals and two slightly smaller but incredibly powerful Arcturian crystals were relocated within the hyperdimensional transport systems of the underground tunnel system with help from the Syrian Pleiadian Alliance. Three huge primary crystals were relocated to the Atlantean crystal fields of Arkansas, and two were relocated to the underground crystal farms of Brazil in the area of Bahia and Minas Gerais, and one was relocated to an underground cavern below Mount Shasta, and the Great Fire Crystal was placed underground in a chasm below the Bimini Bank in the Sargasso Sea. And the two sacred Arcturian crystals were located in the caverns below the area of Tiahuanaco, Bolivia, near Lake Titicaca. That's all information from Archangel Metatron. And further, he said that the Earth has an inner core that rotates clockwise and the outer core that rotates counterclockwise. And the ratio of the Earth's inner spin to its outer spin directly affects the flash of time unfoldment. The magnetic grid is decreasing, and it's being replaced by the crystalline grid. And that magnetics are, by definition, polar, while crystalline energy is nonpolar and relates to zero-point energy. And the Atlantis second moon satellite was recharged by the arc crystal of gravity and used for anti-gravitation. And by channeling and refining the magnetic fields of the naturally occurring magnetic deposits of lodestone indigenous to Arkansas, scientists were able to direct the motion of the refined magnetics and counterspin them around specially shaped crystals and crystal fields for anti-gravitational purposes. In fact, the crystalline devices that were used to combine concentrated thought with anti-gravitational generations from the capstones were part of the process utilized for the method of lifting massive stone blocks and building structures such as the pyramids. And the device termed the Nazi Bell was an unsuccessful attempt at recreating this effort. And the German scientists working on the Nazi bell were in the first part of the Aryan Belial technicians that were allowed during the time of the fall of Atlantis to be trained by the Atlara. And had they been able to complete this project and other technologies, World War II could have had a quite different outcome. But according to Metatron, that was never allowed to occur. And you can find out more information concerning Metatron's take on Atlantis and some more specifics about Atlantean history at spiritualhealingpower.com. That's spiritualhealingpower.com. And it's related to the Atlantis codes. Also, with respect to Atlantis, there's some information that came from Thoth, and he stated that there are theories about Atlantis, and most of them do mention the extensive use of crystals by the Atlanteans. And the Atlanteans allegedly harnessed the energies of the pyramids using harmonics linked to crystals to that end. As we have the Great Pyramid at the center of the planet linked to the grid matrix that creates our reality, so too did the Atlanteans. Their pyramid allegedly sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, which is a metaphor about returning to the collective unconsciousness or source of creation. Reality being a consciousness hologram. And one of the most detailed descriptions of the Atlantean use of a mysterious instrument called the Great Crystal was given by Edgar Cayce, who mentioned it many times. The crystal, he said, was housed in a special building, oval in shape, with a dome that could be rolled back, exposing the crystal to the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars at the most favorable times. The crystal itself, or fire stone, was huge in size, cylindrical in length, and prismatic in shape, cut with six sides. And atop the crystal was a movable capstone used to both concentrate incoming rays of energy and to direct currents to various parts of the Atlantean countryside. The energy was used for various purposes. In the beginning, it was used as purely a spiritual tool by initiates who could handle the great energy. And the early Atlanteans were peaceful people. As they developed more physical material bodies, they used the crystal to rejuvenate their bodies and were able to live hundreds of years while maintaining a youthful appearance. Later, the great crystal was used and put to other uses. And currents of energy were transmuted throughout the land, like radio waves, and powered by these were some of the crafts and vehicles that traversed the land through the sky and under the sea at the speed of sound. By utilization of other currents originating from the Great Crystal, the Atlanteans were also able to transmit over great distances the human voice and pictures, kind of like modern television. And in the same manner, even heat and light could be directed to specific buildings or open arenas, giving illumination and warmth by seemingly invisible means. And as the story goes, the people of Atlantis had many warnings before the continent sank. Or another way of put it would be the Atlantean program ending. And prior to closure, crystals were allegedly used to store information, which would be found in our timeline by those who programmed them. And these crystals contain the original star codes for the Atlantean program. Once found, the crystals would be used as a means of helping them remember. But if all is happening in the now, then we are in a parallel situation. Though Atlantis seems like thousands of years ago, our souls are experiencing in both grid programs simultaneously, and the crystals are our spiraling DNA moving consciousness between realities to experience and learn. And when the Atlantean program ended, many of those souls moved on to other programs, their knowledge and wisdom placed in crystals. And these souls were healers, teachers, priests, priestesses, recorders of knowledge, scientists, astronomers, and artisans. And their knowledge was stored within their genetic codings to be reactivated when the next cycle of time was to come to an end and consciousness would evolve back to source. At that time, they would return to the roles similar to those they played in the Atlantean program. And through initiation similar to those in ancient Atlantis, they would awaken their memories. And this understanding of who they are and what their roles would be now. And I find that quite fascinating with respect to the initiations. And Thoth also states that the Atlantean pyramid creates the illusion of realities in time on the earth plane. And the soul that oversees this pyramid goes by the frequency of Arlis Cochizal. And in the Temple of the Crystals, the goddess sits, she whose consciousness creates all and everything from within. This is according to Thoth. And through the crystal matrix, a race of evolved humans was birthed. And when it was time for those souls to once again submerge in the sea of creation to evolve into a new experience, the crystals would echo the harmonics, and the souls would remember and align for transition. The Atlantean pyramid has great mythology about an ancient time when man used the gift of intuition and worked with spirit. And it tells of priests and priestesses who used massive crystals and walked with giants and strange creatures on the surface of the planet. The pyramid tells of Thoth, known as Thoth the Atlantean, or Tehuti, who ruled the land of Atlantis for thousands of years, known there by many names and descriptions. It is written that before the great civilization of Atlantis fell, Thoth went with his consorts and high priests and priestesses in great spaceships to create a new home and a new civilization. And that this place would be known as the land of Kem, which we know now as ancient Egypt. And that Thoth and others from Atlantis would record and store information in great libraries in a place to be known as the Halls of Amenti, Amenti meaning mankind. And Thoth says, listen now for the echoes of their tones within your mind. And many would search for these records in their quest to remember why they have come here and why and who they are. And they would find that they have greater purpose in this timeline and seek to find out what that purpose might be. The Atlantean pyramid would create tales of the fall of this great civilization as warning to those who would walk the earth at the time of this reading. And humanity would worry about the destruction of its earth home. But fear not, as the souls need only remember their way home into the light. That's according to Thoth. For there is no beginning and there is no end. And I, Thoth the Atlantean, shall now take you to the Pyramid of Atlantis so that you may experience all that you are. And you will understand what happened in the game of light versus darkness. And you'll remember what you must do. And I found that to be kind of an interesting invitation. And for if that sort of resonates with you and you wanted to look further into initiations with respect to remembering your role in Atlantean times, I could suggest that you Google search Initiation in the Atlantean Pyramid. And that's Initiation in the Atlantean Pyramid. And also, interestingly enough, it doesn't seem to be common knowledge, but as I was surfing the internet, I found that pretty conclusive that Atlantis has been discovered, at least part of Atlantis was been discovered in the Bermuda Triangle. And the sunken city features giant pyramids and sphinxes and like 2,000-foot pyramids. And there's actually pictures on the internet. And I find that to be quite fascinating, like so many other discoveries, like holographic history of the Earth that was discovered in Buzeci, Romania, and also as confirmed by Bashar that underneath the Sphinx, there has been a Hall of Records has been discovered, but again, not made public. And of course, all this presupposes when we start talking about having previous lifetimes in Atlantis and connecting with those lifetimes in this lifetime and maybe doing initiations to find out what kind of things you might be doing in this lifetime that you might want to remember, also presupposes just the existence of the fact of reincarnation. And for those of you who are not aware, the early Christian church even accepted the doctrine of reincarnation. And it was expounded by the Gnostics and by numerous church fathers, including Clement of Alexandria, the celebrated Origen, and that was both of the 3rd century, and St. Jerome in the 5th century. And the doctrine was first declared a heresy in 553 A.D. by the Second Council of Constantinople. So basically, if you do your research, you'll also find out that in, I guess it was about A.D. 325, Emperor Constantine of Rome basically rewrote Christianity to suit his purposes. And according to Pleiadian information, all religions were created by the Anunnaki, and you can view Sunday services as club meetings of the Anunnaki. Further, according to Barbara Marciniak, a channeling of the Pleiadians, she talks about the symbol of the cross as a being a symbol of the crossing planet. And, of course, if you're up to information concerning the crossing planet, it actually crosses our solar system sort of in a perpendicular fashion. And it is clearly Nibiru, which is inhabited by the Anunnaki. Another interesting aspect of this symbolism of the cross, according to Barbara Marciniak, channeling the Pleiadians, is that the final rites given by the priests in modern times include the passing of the cross over the chakras, which shuts them down, and next thing you find yourself in an Anunnaki recycling chamber. This is kind of an interesting topic because, and there's two other prominent people that are also pointing to this fact. And one of them is Simon Parkes. And if you don't know about Simon, Simon is, he's a combination of one-third Earth human, one-third reptilian, and one-third mantis in terms of his genetics. And he talks quite a bit about the messing of the reincarnation process. And so has Andrew Bartzes, the galactic historian, and as a third confirmation of this information, Barbara Marciniak. Apparently, the archons have put up a grid to keep souls from going to source after death, and this process, as I understand it, is being dismantled by positive forces, but it's probably a wise thing after death to keep your wits, and even if meeting past relatives, be in the mental state or condition through practice of going to source energy, because obviously there's lots of Mickey Mousing around with the getting out of here. So not only is it more and more difficult to be born on the planet now in a healthy body, it's more and more difficult to die with your brain intact because of Alzheimer's, and even leaving the planet, at least in up until even current times, has been difficult. And I, for one, will not take the last rites. And if you do some research, you will see that many of these ceremonies and commemorations come from the latter Egyptian period and come from Anunnaki and Egyptian processes. And the early Egyptian era was amazing, and that was, again, influenced heavily by Thoth. And the Hall of Amenti and the Hall of Records certainly were recorded history that has been left under the Sphinx. And as I understand it, there's supposed to be some negotiations with respect to the public announcement of some of these findings. Although I have heard some radio shows that kind of talk about a similar situation with respect to advances that have been made with respect to time travel and seeing both the future and the past. And people have brought up the topic that one of the reasons that this kind of information isn't being made public is because, for example, they say that maybe some religion wasn't exactly founded in the way that people thought it would, and it would cause great problems among people in that religion, as an example, or as another possibility, you know, the victors in wars pretty much write the history, and possibly we may find out that certain wars had certain other motives and agendas that would cause some political turmoil. So I can see that there would be a lot of potential issues with respect to the release of some accurate information about history. And from my perspective, most of what we've been taught about history is total garbage. Probably 90% of it's false. Many of the myths turn out to be true, but it's clear that there's been a purposeful intent to keep many archaeological finds and information with respect to history a secret. And if you're seeking other amazing Egyptian legacies, I could suggest that you try to get an Egyptian healing rods. I mean, these were used by the Inner Circle in Egypt, and amazing tools. And another technique that you could consider as well for connecting with who you might have been in the Atlantean period would be suggested by Bashar, and by using what he calls the psychomantium. And the psychomantium is basically the use of a mirror, a large mirror, in a candlelit room, and you place the mirror so that you could see what's reflected in the mirror, but you're in a position where you're not reflected in the mirror. And through your own personal intentions, then you try to connect with some of your past incarnations. And a lot of people have been very successful in that endeavor. I should also point out that those rods are energetically conditioned in a 72-foot-high pyramid outside of St. Petersburg, Russia. And the rods and the energy of the pyramid are based on sacred geometry, and they become synergized, making them powerful healing and transformational tools. And they are cutting-edge technology of the 21st century, rediscovered from ancient Egypt. And with regular use of the rods, the blood flow increases, the mind becomes clearer, the vital energy becomes more balanced. And a more powerful biofield is created around the body, shielding it from negative energy. And as the body heals, the rods add increased benefit of improved vision, healing, sense of smell, general sensitivity, and enhanced intuition. The immune system becomes strengthened, and all the body systems work at a more optimum level. Mental and psychic abilities such as telepathy, clairvoyance, and connection with the flow of life force are more easily attained with the use of Egyptian healing rods. The effect of the pyramid on a field structure of any object, regardless of whether it is mineral, solution, organic substance, or a living creature, causes serious changes within this structure in a very positive way. And such structures seem to be put in order to become more optimal and harmonic. And there's been a lot of research done in Russia on the effects of Egyptian healing rods and pyramids. And being resonators, the pyramids also appear to be antenna, or a system that transfers energy from one dimension to another. And the pyramid being an antenna and resonates at the same time, it is also a retransmitter of particular energetic flows connected with certain processes that take a place in space. And these rods, together with the pyramid and appropriate preparation, allowed the pharaohs and priests to contact the noosphere and were used for communication with the gods. Recent research has shown that in an area with the concentration of pyramids, seismic activity diminishes. More precisely, instead of one powerful earthquake, there are hundreds of tiny ones. Also, in the atmosphere above the pyramids, the state of the ozone layer improves. Additional findings indicate that burial of radioactive waste in pyramids, they lose its toxic properties. Agricultural seed treated in pyramids results in a 30 to 70% yield increase. Diamonds synthesized from graphite stored 1 week in a pyramid are more pure, hard, and more perfectly shaped than usual. Water stored in pyramids retains its properties for years. And in the Valerie Uvarov interview at Project Camelot, he mentions that the rods were developed partially because of a huge increase in cancer in the general population. And the rods were known only to a narrow circle of initiates in ancient Egypt. And their history goes far back to the depths of centuries, and the origin is covered by a thick curtain of mystery. And the distribution of the rods, we feel these times right now, we're living in a crucial time on the eve of a new era, and Russia is certainly leading the way with this particular type of technology. And they believe that the mystery of the rods has been discovered on purpose for these times. So here's another one of these connections between ancient Egypt, which was not very far removed from Atlantis, and current times. And this Valerie Uvarov, he's head of the Department of UFO Research, Paleosciences, and Paleotechnology of the National Security Academy of Russia. And he discusses the significance of the upcoming, what he calls, pole shift, and describes the intriguing Russian construction of 9 large pyramids between St. Petersburg and Moscow. And the intention of this fascinating experiment is both to research new approaches for curing cancer and to employ the pyramids as a sort of centering device during the next few years as we move closer to the galactic plane. So according to Yubrov, he states that what will take place on planet Earth will critically affect human health, and those ones who now have not good health will, according to him, have more issues with things like heart attacks, high blood pressure, and he says that the Russians came to the understanding that this is a key moment, that people who are developing inner abilities, energetic abilities, clairvoyance, something like that, in any case, if they're doing it without knowledge, which was left behind by the ancient priests, then he felt that there would be just a huge, huge amount of cancer across the earth. And in fact, I just recently heard a research project from a Harvard University, and it stated that in the next 15 to 20 years, they were expecting that about 50% of young people would have cancer by the age of 18. Most of them surviving it, but still, this whole issue about cancer and why there's such a big increase is certainly something that needs to be dealt with, and these Egyptian healing rods were developed specifically for actually the Russian population to deal with this issue. And I might also add that the crystals were used in the healing temples in Atlantis, and I would say that this is another amazing area to research, and in particular the Andara crystals. And personally, I've never heard of anything that even approaches the description about the Andara crystals, because they're a name to identify primamatric crystals, in other words, original matter from the original formation of the Earth. And this find in California was originally seeded for primamatra by those we call the Time Walkers, in conjunction with high devas mythologically depicted as unicorns. And according to Thoth, approximately 2,000 years after the interdimensional implosion, a Lemurian temple complex was raised on this site, and the name of which was Andara, meaning light of beauty and perfection. And the primary purpose of this complex was in working with the Prima Matra powders, crystals, and water on the land. And this is all monoatomic fields there. And monoatomics is, to my way of thinking, is the subject nobody seems to know about, nobody wants to talk about. But monoatomics, lead one towards source energy. And in some of the temples in Atlantis, these Andara crystals were dedicated to healing, and they were known to the Egyptians as Sekhmet and to the Assyrians as Ishtar. And while Andara was originally a Lemurian colony, those who participated in the Andara complex became their own race, and by this we mean that through their purposeful interaction with Prima Matra, they transmuted their crystalline DNA and becoming a highly futurized form of human beings. And they were even more developed in their light matrix than the Lemurians of that time. And these were the colonists that advanced from Lemurians to what would be called Andarians. And I've never heard of such a thing, but the Andara crystals apparently were formed inside a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. And this is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental and structural composition of the crystal formation. And the Andara crystals contain the most concentrated charge of the monofield, hyperfield, and kinesthetic continuum. And in this respect, they are even more potent than Prima Matra powders. And if you go on the internet and do a little bit of research on the Andara crystals, you're going to find it's kind of like having a master being, but in rock form. And they will work with you, especially in your dream state. And one of the reasons that a lot of the work has been the dream state is because you don't emit any counterproductive or inharmonious energies, or at least not as much as during a waking state. And as a kind of a simple example, some of these different Andara crystals will assist you in your reality creation experimentation as well, because they tend to melt down and remove some of the incongruous frequencies, which enables you to be more successful. So my suggestion for everyone is, in these modern times, is the Crystal Kingdom has a lot to offer, and clearly the Atlanteans were clued in to crystals. And I remember Master Kathimi once talked about the crystals having a vibrational frequency that would be, if an average human was 500 on whatever scale you wanted to use, the crystals would be like 3,500. That would be quartz crystals. And they're also a transitional tool in between dimensions, similar to the pyramids. And Andara crystals, I've never even heard of anybody even measuring their frequency match, but if you do any research on monoatomics, you realize that there's just a mind-boggling experiments that have been done with monatomics, and they're even more powerful than the monatomics. So, and also, another use for Andara crystals is to put one in your water supply, because you're going to have amazing, amazing water. And if you're not familiar with how that works, you need to check out Masaru Emoto and the Power of Water, and how water is a perfect reflector of consciousness, and how positive emotion and positive frequency actually physically changes the molecular structure of water. In this day and age, I run into a lot of people, and they just think, tap water is just fine. Well, yeah, it'd be fine if you like about 150 different chemicals, and not to mention the amount of fluoride that's being put in there, which calcifies the pineal gland. And, to me, water is just so very important to have access to good water. And putting in an Andara crystal would be a very simple way to supercharge your water. And last program, we're making some connections with respect to reality creation, and certainly the Andara crystals are very beneficial in this endeavor. And I wanted to link not only the times of Atlantis, but our connections to Atlantis and our connections to crystals, and also the connection to reality creation. And a little tip from Merlin concerning reality creation, that is when you first focus on a desire for something you do not have, you may resonate with the perspective of not having it. This is the big hurdle that needs to be overcome, is that the universe doesn't pay attention so much to the specifics of what's happening in your life. It pays more attention to your physical frequency or vibration. And in order to be a frequency match for a particular thing you want to manifest, you need to be a perfect match for it. And it's hard to be a perfect match for it if you're having the focus that you don't have it. And according to Merlin, you can create an energy shift to bring that which you desire into your experience by waving the wand of your limitless imagination. When you imagine that you are already experiencing what you desire, you are experiencing fulfillment. You are drinking from the Holy Grail. And to master this craft of magic, practice continuously. When you master the craft of fulfilling your dreams first from within, those dreams must become physical reality. See yourself receiving what you want by imagining that it is already there. If you find yourself imagining just to get something, what you are saying is that you don't have that something. You're telling the universe to give you more of what you do not have. You present yourself with a gift when you can sense the presence of a desire fulfilled. Pretending is not a popular pastime, but Merlin thinks that there's going to be a new trend in this regard. Because as you tend to pretending, you become the children entering the kingdom of heaven. Pretty good tips from Merlin, the magician. Also concurs with lots of information from Bashar, and also Abraham channeled through Esther Hicks. I'd like to, at this point, mention that you can get a copy of my most recent book, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's at my website, etyoga.com, $9.95, downloadable there, and with utilizing PayPal. Appreciate those people who do take the time to write in to me at etyoga.com. I also have a personal email for any comments or suggestions you have for programming. And that's at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. So that's paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And as usual, I like to wish everyone listening to the show my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'm going to end the show tonight by just giving a brief description of the Who Am I technique, which is called the Vachara, and as far as I know, was originally taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And in this particular technique or meditation, I would suggest that ideally you could do a set of pranayams or yogic breathing, and basically that would be a secondary phase. Even doing these asanas, yoga asanas, would be could be done first. I mean, you can jump right into the meditation as well, but to make optimum use of everything, you could do asanas first and then pranayams and then get into the meditation. And the meditation part is to focus your entire consciousness as much as possible in your third eye area and to visualize as much as your energy as possible on that spot that's in between your eyes at the forehead level. And then you would repeat the following. I would repeat, who am I, the question, maybe 25 or 30 times with respect to focusing on the spot. And then I would go through the process of stating that I am not my body, that I am not my internal organs, that I am not my thoughts, that I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part.
It is time to become a part of mind.